It is as if the crowd would be praying our hymn that we just sang today. We sought the Lord in our distress. O God, in mercy, hear us. Jesus is moved, he says, from the insides, from all that he is, with compassion and pity for those whom he has created. These people, probably mostly Gentiles, are on the way with him. They are hurting, or even maybe hurting soon, and he loves them in their pain and in their travel. He wants to provide for them. That's who God is. He sees our helplessness, and he comes with peace to cheer us. The disciples' response, however, is interesting. They've already seen Jesus feed 5,000 Jewish men and their women and children on the Israel side of the Sea of Galilee. Now they're on the Gentile side of the Sea of Galilee. They've seen him feed 5,000 and more with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, and gathered the 12 Jewish-style bread baskets full of leftovers. But out it comes from these hard-hearted Jewish Galilean fishermen, not a whole lot of compassion. They say, well, from where will one be able, these people, here to feed bread in a desolate place? Where will the bread come from? And a bit between the lines, why are you wanting to feed these people, these Gentiles? They are not your chosen nation, not your people. Why would Jesus give the crumbs from the children's bread to the dogs at the bottom of the table? Why? Because unlike his disciples, the Lord of heaven and earth, who alone has the right to harden his heart towards every sinner, indeed does not harden his heart towards this crowd. He has compassion for them. He acts to help and defend them in their bodily need. From 7 loaves, which, by the way, the disciples had in their own possession, all 4,000 or more are fed bountifully, so much so that there are 7 large Roman Gentile-style bread baskets of leftover bread collected after everyone ate their fill. He never shall forsake his flock, his chosen generation. No way, bread from heaven, true compassion shown. What about you, Gentiles? Are you struggling in the wilderness of this life? Do you feel many days as if the Lord has led you out to a desolate place and there's no help in sight? From where will bread come? Asked the disciples. And oftentimes we ask the same question, even though we actually already have it. Just we ask it with different circumstances. Where will the next paycheck come from? The next mortgage payment? The next light bill? The next grocery? Where will compassion come to relieve my loneliness and my hurt feelings, my stung conscience, my grief, my pain? Where will it come for this poor, miserable Gentile of a sinner? You may be tempted oftentimes to think that you don't deserve help and pity and compassion from anyone, much less God. Perhaps because you know you've not always given help and pity and compassion to others, and perhaps other sins torment your conscience. Where does true compassion come from? You can look to the world for pity and compassion. You surely, though, don't find it there, not consistently. There are always godly examples of love and compassion in the world. There have been incredible amounts of love and compassion and courage given to rescuing that soccer team that was trapped in Thailand deep in the cave. One diver even gave his life helping to get them out. Our young people and adults witnessed how wonderfully 850 Lutheran Christians can get along as they received God's word and sacrament in large doses at the Higher Things Conference this week. Strangers always holding doors open for others. Things you don't see out in this world, let me tell you that. Acts of friendship and kindness to people you don't know. You showed compassion this week and you didn't even know it. You, through me, allowed the youth and pastor from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lowell, Michigan, to stay for free in our empty vicarage home on the way to the conference in Carbondale. Sorry if anybody wanted to charge admission. I didn't ask. But for every wonderful show of compassion and love like those, there seems to be 10 examples that show how much there is not in the world. Not only is there the usual crime and immorality and lack of respect for life and property out there, and lack of common decency, which crowds our newscasts and Twitter feeds, and the discourse in our society becomes ever more hateful and lacking in any attempt to understand other people's sides of issues, much less basic logic. It's my way or no way, and you hit the highway, right? And our judicial system has opened the barn door for the destruction of life and marriage in our culture, and our political system goes further off the moorings of natural law that God has given, along with our whole civilization. And so there is little pity or compassion for Christians who dare to speak and act against the clear immorality and perversions of this life. Just ask the Christian cake bakers and the wedding photographers who refuse to participate in these so-called weddings against their conscience. Just ask them how much compassion there's been for their conscience. And just ask Christians in Canada right now who are being prosecuted by their government for publicly speaking out against various immorality. This cannot be a great shock to us. We are not compassionate people by nature, who show pity, mercy, and love towards our neighbor in need by nature. We don't do it. Within our human might, all things are not nearly just and good and right. If we were perfectly compassionate for those around us, we would never, ever, ever let ourselves or our family or our friends not be here to hear the precious gospel and receive God's grace. If we were truly compassionate for those around us, we would never, ever let our neighbor suffer at our hand. We would always obey those in authority, always love our neighbor, never harbor anger or malice, always uphold our own marriage and the marriages of others. We would always defend our neighbor's property, possessions, income, family, his reputation, always. In heart, word, and deed, always. That would be compassion. But always our hearts are tempted to be hardened towards the neighbor and his or her needs. That hardness of heart towards others starts with a hardness of heart towards the Word of God. And that hardness courses through our veins. Who we are, ever since our first parents listened to the lie of the serpent in the garden and ate the forbidden fruit, which you heard God specifically forbid in today's Old Testament reading, they rejected God's command not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They rejected the bounty of God's love and life in the garden. Rejected the open way to the tree of life. Chose to serve themselves instead of God and the good creation he had given them. They gave their members over to impurity and lawlessness that leads to death. And because of them, all of you are in the same boat. Where will compassion and mercy come for us, poor sinners? Where will help come from in this desolate, corrupt place in which we find ourselves? Without help and pity and compassion from someone, we would surely grow weary, faint, and die on the way. Now, in his eternal place, far above, beyond all time and space, God said to his beloved Son, "It's time to have compassion." For our Savior saw our helplessness and came with peace to cheer us. He had compassion upon you from before the foundation of the world, even though he knew we transgressed his righteous law and rejected his holy word. Because compassion and pity and undeserved love are what God is. This is his divine DNA. It is who God is. He became our brother in human flesh, too. And that did not change who God is. But he became our brother and lived to share our human existence, rather proving just how much compassion and love he has. For he walked every mile in your shoes and went through every grief and every pain you do. And he did feel faint on the way. He did even die on the way. Just as surely as he brought forth an abundance of bread from his hand that day and fish for 4,000 Gentiles out in a desolate wilderness, a bounty that was earthly perfection from 7 loaves to 7 baskets of leftovers. Just as surely does the Lord Jesus bring forth a perfect abundance of compassion and pity and grace and mercy upon your sinful condition and the guilty sentence for sin that you deserve. For his hand that took up the loaves of bread and the fish also took up the cross and took the nail to that cross that we deserved. And that hand bled for us as he took his own perfect body and soul and took in those, the horror, the shame, and the absence of compassion and pity and forsakenness and sorrow and death that God intended to punish every sinner with. And he took it all upon himself instead, and he allowed it to be suffered in his body on the tree. And all the earth waited for him in the tomb for 3 days, and life sprang forth in abundance. Death defeated, atonement deemed paid in full, earthly and heavenly perfection walked forth out of the grave alive to open back the way to the tree of life for all who believe on his name and are imputed with his righteousness and holiness. Surely this Lord, the one who suffered in your place and the one who lives and reigns victoriously, having paid the wages of sin, is your great and compassionate friend. He has given of himself in his great abundance, and the wellspring of his forgiveness and eternal life never runs out. That abundance of compassion is given you freely in your baptism into him, in holy absolution, which will be offered again this Thursday afternoon here, and in the holy supper of his body and blood, which is now set to come to you today. So in this confidence and hope, let your faith in Christ run its course, to acknowledge God as your true friend, who loves you weary and forlorn sinners, because he is love and compassion itself. The God who provides for you today and tomorrow and all eternity. Cleave to him in your greatest need, flee to him and to no one else. He never shall forsake his flock, his chosen generation. You are that flock. You are that chosen generation baptized into him, into his death and resurrection. He is your refuge, your rock, your peace, and your salvation. And as with a mother's tender hand, he leads you, his own, his chosen band. To God be all praise and glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord.